Hey, welcome to 2024. You excited?
Yeah.
Yeah? Amen. So let's begin our time together this morning. And if you have your Bible, if you have your phone, with your Bible on your phone or your iPad, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 1. I'll give you that heads up. You can get ready for that. Some of you are going to take a little longer to get there than others, but that's okay as long as we all get there, right? Come on now. Let's walk hand in hand with each other. You with me? Okay. Good. Before we do that, though, let's invite God to have His way in our hearts and our minds this morning. Father, it is with gratitude that we lift our hearts to You and we invite You, which may not be a strong enough word, but I'm going to use that word. We invite You to have Your way in our hearts and in our minds. Father, I invite You to have Your way in my heart and my mind. It is our desire to spend the next moments that are before us with our arms open, our hearts open, to hear and to receive from You through the truth of Your Word and by the power of Your Spirit to receive exactly what You have for us. Thank You for knowing us. Thank You for knowing what each of us are carrying, what each of us are experiencing, what each of us have experienced this past week. Thank You for having intimate knowledge of each of us, knowing us by name. And thank You for loving us enough to send Your Son Jesus to die for us, to give His life in our place. Father, thank You for that love. Thank You for Your grace. And I ask that as we open up Your Word, not only would we hear from You, but that You would give us what we need to be doers of what You give to us, so that we can be doers of the Word as well as hearers. Thank You for being present. Thank You for this moment. Thank You for this church family. Thank You for every person that walked in to this door and every person that's watching online. Thank You for this moment, God, where You are stepping into our lives. Help us to listen and then help us to obey. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So open your Bible, your phone, your iPad to Joshua chapter 1. And while you're doing that, I want to ask you a couple of questions. 2023 is over and 2024 is beginning. Who wants a second chance? Who wants a do-over? Not a do-over, but a do-again, a do-a-better. Okay, Oliver, you and me? That's kind of one of the way we think when a new year starts, right? We reflect. I hope you've spent some time the last couple weeks as we've celebrated the birth of Christ and that season of Advent and all that we have to be thankful for. As we've gone through that and the new year begins, that you have done some reflection about how 2023 went for you. Now, it's probably natural to think about how it went financially. If you're in school, maybe you don't want to reflect back on your grades, but maybe you need to. Kind of natural to think about those kinds of things, how I did in school, how my finances went, how it went at work, some relationships, and maybe not so natural to think about how it went spiritually. My relationship with God, my journey with Jesus. Now, we're all over the place, right? And that's good. I hope you, as a part of the, if you're part of this church family, that you share that value with the leadership of this church. It's good that we are at all different places spiritually. There should always be growth. There should always be babies. Isn't that something that we get excited about when new life takes place? And we should even be excited about the teenage years as young people begin to explore and discover who they are in their own person, their own journey with Jesus. Okay? I don't know how genuine that was. I'll pick a couple of them genuine. Because that's a hard season, but that's a good thing when that happens. It's good that people, that we as people are engaging the Spirit of God. We're engaging our relationship with God. Even if you're here, if you're listening, and you may put a different title. You say, I'm not a Christian, but I am curious. I'm not a Christian, but I'm a little angry, or I'm a little confused. I've seen things, I've heard things, and I'm not sure, A, if God is real, and I'm not sure if He is real, if He does exist. Has He made Himself known? Is there a way for me to know Him? It's healthy for us as a church family to have people all over that spectrum engaging who God is. And so it's good, it doesn't maybe come naturally, but it's good for us at moments like this and throughout the year to reflect and say, okay, what happened in my spiritual life in 2023? Now, I don't want you, the purpose is not to look back to all your failures and all the moments that we fell short and we didn't do or say or behave the way that we knew God was leading us to. It's not about beating ourselves up, right? I hope we get that. I hope that's not the takeaway this morning. But it is good for us to look back and say, okay, how did it go? And what do I want to do, or what do I want to be different than this last season? So I found myself asking this question, who wants a second chance? And I rose my hand. I said, I do. And then what would I do with a second chance? Let me ask it this way. Is it possible that some of the moments that you and I faced in this last year, we will face again this year? Yes. Were there temptations that happened in 2023 that we faced, regardless of what the outcome was, that we will face again in 2024? Absolutely. Were there moments of discouragement, disappointment in 2023 that I likely will face again in 2024? As a married man, were there moments in 2023 where I blew it as a husband? I wasn't what God wanted me to do. I didn't put her first. I put me first. Do you think I'll face any of those moments in 2024?
No.
I will. Probably twice as many as 2023. Are you tracking with me? You look back on 2023 and you see those moments. Here's what I know about 2024. We're going to have more of those moments. We're going to find ourselves back in the same circumstances, the same situation, the same temptation, the same challenge as we did before. And it's good to be prepared for that second chance. Here's the one thing that I want to make sure we all grab a hold of this morning. God is a God of second chances. He's a God of second chances. And those moments that I had in 2023, even the ones that I failed to live up to what the calling on my life as a follower of Jesus Christ, even the moments that I failed in, he's going to give me another chance in 2024. That's good news, right? Because I do want a second chance. I do want to redo or relive or have an opportunity to face some of the moments that I faced in 2023 and do it in a way that honors God and pleases God. So I'll just put it on paper or I put it on the screen. What would I do with a second chance? Well, my first thought was I'll do better, right? Which is easy to say. But if I don't make some plans, if I don't do some things, then guess what's going to happen? A year from now, I'll be standing up here and I'll say, okay, who wants a second chance for 2025? And we'll have reflected on the, you're tracking with me. So look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 is this picture of God being a God of second chances. Now, the backstory to this, well, let me read some verses, then I'll tell you the backstory to make sure we're all on the same page. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant. Pause. We read that quick. But just kind of pause for a second what that means for the people of God. This is a big moment. This is a serious moment. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses. He was kind of his right-hand man. He was his, what do we say today, sidekick, protege, Spider-Man to Iron Man, kind of that kind of thing, right? No, Robin to, no, okay. Probably not a good example. Moses, my servant, is dead. You think God needed to tell Joshua that? No. But what is God doing? God is stepping into Joshua's moment. Isn't that good? The God of second chances first reveals himself by stepping into our moments. This is how we know, partly, the first evidence that he is a God of second chances is he steps into our pain. He steps into our loss. He steps into our confusion, into our darkness. He steps into the moment where we're frozen. And I don't know what to, I can't even begin to wrap my brain around what's next. And God steps into it and he acknowledges, Joshua, I know exactly what's consuming your heart and mind. What are you going to do? What's next? Moses is dead and here you are, everybody's looking at you. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I'm giving the Israelites. I've given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. Yeah, some of us need to take a screenshot of that, and it needs to be on our refrigerator or in the mirror in our bathroom. Here's the moment. Moses is dead. Joshua is in charge. I spent a lot of time this week just trying to get into his shoes and thinking what that moment would be like. The 40 years of wandering are over. They've spent the last 40 years wandering around the wilderness. Last year, as we wrapped up 2023, we left them having come out of slavery from Egypt, and their encounter with the Red Sea, their encounter with the plagues and the Passover, then the Red Sea, and then the law is given, and the tabernacle, we walked through that, and we kind of left them with Moses asking God to show me your glory. And then we looked at the baby in the manger and saw the face of God. And then they experienced 40 years. And if you haven't read it recently, maybe you've never read it, you may not remember or understand that the next 40 years were filled with complaining and failure and death. Everyone over a certain age died in those 40 years. Now, why did that happen? That happened because they had come from slavery, they had come to the Jordan, they had come to this river, and they were to go cross that river and take the land that God had promised them, that he'd promised Abraham hundreds of years beforehand. And they failed. They sent in 12 spies. Is this familiar to anybody? 12 spies went in, they come out, 10 say, no way, we'll get destroyed, two of them. And you may remember the name of the two spies that said, let's do this, God will help us. It was Caleb and Joshua. Joshua. That's right. 50%. Got one right. Caleb and Joshua. And then for the next 40 years, Joshua watched the people of God complain and whine and face obstacles and challenges. He watched everyone over a certain age die. And then they finally make it back. And they're going to go into the promised land, and God takes Moses home. And he says, Joshua, yes, Lord, Moses is dead. Tell me something I don't know. What am I going to do? Well, you were the man. The 40 years of wandering is over. We're back again at the Jordan, and they're ready to cross in. This is the God of second chances. The second chance comes 40 years after it was offered before. Some of you need to hear that. Because some of you are praying for and longing for a second chance in a specific circumstance, and God knows that. He knows it. And because he's the God of second chances, he provides those moments for us to step back into and now move into that moment trusting him, having learned from the first one. So Moses is dead, and Joshua is now the leader. And God says, I want you to move the people, get them ready, and you're going to go in there. And I'm sure you heard in those words, he says, I want you to do this. I want you to lead them in there, get the people ready, and I'm going to be with you. Now, let me give you some thoughts that God gave me as I asked myself that question, what would I do with a second chance? What is it going to take for my second chance to look different than the first one? What's it going to take for the Israelites to experience a different moment than the first time? I want to share with you what God spoke to me about, what he challenged me with in my own life. And here's the first one. Stick to the plan. Stick to the plan. Whose plan? God's plan. Okay, I'm glad you said that because Some of us, when you say, here, stick to the plan, you think I'm talking about, and I'm one of these people. Yeah, because I got a pretty good plan. Now, I can't imagine being Joshua, but knowing myself, if God came to me and said, Moses is dead, now you're the man, my brain would immediately begin to plan. Yes, I got to have a plan. We got a lot of people, and we got all there's all these people that we're going to walk through this together with them through the book of Joshua, these cities, these peoples, these challenges that they're going to face. And my mind would begin to make a plan. Stick to the, what God tells Joshua, stick to the plan. My plan. Did you hear it? He says, here's the land. And he's not telling Joshua anything new. He's telling Joshua the plan that's always been the plan. It's almost like I don't want to say a dig, but it's God reminding him, this is where we were 40 years ago. And I have walked with you and been with you for the last 40 years. And boy, this has been a tough 40 years. But here's the good news, Joshua. Nothing has changed. My promise remains true. I have a plan for you. And that plan is? It's good, according to the prophet Jeremiah, or according to God through the prophet Jeremiah. I know the plans that I have for you. They're good plans. Not to destroy you, but to give you a future, to give you hope. Yeah, but God, we've been wandering for the last 40 years. Can we just reflect for a minute, God, you and me, Joshua? Can we just kind of talk? Can we acknowledge the elephant in the room? We've spent the last 40 years in rebellion, trying to do it our own way, complaining, whining, not happy with anything. Yes, Joshua, I know that. Stick to the plan. Cross the Jordan. Here's the boundaries. I'm going to give it to you. Go do it. Isn't that good?
Yes. Yes. Amen.
As I look at 2024 and I look at what, and there's stuff we do know and there's stuff we don't know, right? We can certainly say 2024 is going to look like 2023 in some ways. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. The original title for this message that I chickened out, but originally was, Let's Get Ready to Rumble! Because it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a cage match. It's going to be challenging. And that's just what we think we know. There's all kinds of things that we don't know. So does God have a plan, and is it still intact?
Yes.
Don't you think that was on Joshua's mind? It would have been on mine. You're telling me you're still going to be faithful. You still have a plan for us. You still are going to give us the promised land. Yes. Stick to the plan. Stick to the plan. Are you aware of the plan that God has for your life? And I'm not asking for an outward response. It's just I need to answer it too in my own heart and mind. Is it clear? Is it clear in your thinking? Whether you're in school or work, old, young, it doesn't matter. Is there clarity in your head, in your thinking of God's plan for your life? Now, every one of us is going to in some way go, no, not everything. Absolutely true. But there's some things that God has made abundantly clear to us. And even if we wander through 2023 and we whine and we complain and we struggled and we failed, God is faithful to his plan. So when Jesus tells his disciples, of which I am one, and many of you are as well, to go make disciples and do it of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let them know who I am and the relationship I want to have with them. And teach them to obey everything that I've commanded. And never, never, never forget that I will be with you always to the end of the age. Isn't it interesting that Yahweh tells Joshua something very similar? Go in there and fulfill my plan, and I will be with you. Stick to the plan. As you and I move into this new year, and whatever it brings, I believe the voice of God, the message of God is still what it was to Joshua. Stick to the plan, my plan. It's a good plan. And you're part of it. And if you don't have clarity of what the plan is for your life, why you're here, why you have breath, for some of us old people, why we're still kicking, what are we doing here? There needs to be clarity in our hearts and our minds what that plan is. And then commit to it. Stick to the plan, God's plan. Our failures do not alter or hinder God's plans. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
God, forgive us for thinking that we got so much influence and clout that when I fail, somehow that messes up his plans. You guys, he's so much bigger than our failures. He's so much bigger than our shortcomings. See that cross? He is so much bigger than our sin. God's promises remain intact, and they remain good. I'll say it again. God's promises remain intact in 2024, and they remain good. They remain good. They're so good. Here's the second thought. Oh, sorry. Every revelation, this is a thought for me that I put in here that I wanted to share with you guys. Every revelation, every move of God, everything that God sets out to do requires a yes and a no. It requires me to say yes to serving him, yes to jumping into those plans, and it also requires a no to self. Because what we haven't really unpacked is, I'm sure, as we'll see from God's words to Joshua, that he's really struggling with fear and insecurity. And he's going to have to not only say yes to God's plan, but he's also going to have to say no to self, no to his fears, no to his insecurities, no to his guilt or shame of past failures. Every revelation, everything that God makes known to us, every move that he wants to make, whatever he wants to do, requires you and I to say yes and to say no. Yes to his plan and no to self. Yes to serve him and no to serving myself. Anybody struggle with that this last year? I did. Sometimes we say, yes, God, I'll do that, but we don't say no to self. Here's the second thought. Live like you're never alone. Live like you're never alone. God makes it very clear to Joshua that I will never leave you. And God knows what we don't know, right? Joshua has an idea, he sends some spies as he goes through this journey. He sends out some scouts or whatever, and they do different things, and he calls out on God a couple times. He doesn't call on God, and it cost him. But he really doesn't know. He just has an idea. He doesn't really know what God knows. Right? God knows what's coming. And so if God knows all that's coming, and he knows the plan for our life, he knows what 2024 is all about, what do you think God would say to us? If Jesus walked in this morning, according to Don, he could. He wouldn't walk, but he could show up. But let's say he walked in this morning, and of course I would go, hey, Jesus, you got 12 minutes left, come on up. And I wouldn't do that. But I'd say, please, we'd all, please, what do you think he'd say to you and me? I think he would say the same thing that he said to Joshua. Now, some of us would want him to go, tell us what's happening in 2024. Give us the details. When is this happening? And I think he would say what he's always said. I'll be with you. I'm going to be with you. Every day I'm going to be with you. Every challenge I'm going to be with you. Every disappointment I'm going to be with you. You know what? Every time you fail me, I'll be with you. Every time you fall short, I'll be with you. Every time you make a commitment and then you struggle to keep it, I'll be with you. Joshua, I will be with you. So live like you're never alone. How many of you have ever experienced, which I feel like I experience this all the time, you're somewhere, you're at a store, you're getting gas, it doesn't matter, you're just doing something, and you're having a bad moment, you're having a bad day, and attitude is welling up in you. You're dealing with somebody at the counter and they're not doing what you want, or the machine's not, I don't know, just, you know what I mean? You're just in that moment and you're not walking in the spirit, you're walking in the flesh in that moment. And right before you're about to let the works of the flesh come out, someone goes, hey, Kurt, how are you? Hey, and you meet somebody you know. Ever have that experience?
Yes.
It happens to me all the time and other places. At the King's Arena, I was there to see something, and I had my grandson with me, and it was like, and my grandson says, Papa, you know everybody. I go, no, I don't know everybody, but boy, we better be living like followers of Jesus. I've had it happen at Disneyland. I've had it happen in other parts of the country. Hey, and there they are, and I always come away with that same voice in my head saying, boy, You better live for Jesus no matter where you are, what time of day it is, what you're doing, wherever you go, because there's always eyes on you. Well, let's take that up a notch. God says, I'm always with you. I see everything. I know it. He sees it in the heart, right? He sees that word forming there that wants to come out before we let it fly. I'm with you. I'm always with you. So as I move into, as we move into 2024 and we have this year before us, not only should we stick to the plan, but let's live like we are never alone. That God is with us in each and every interaction, every moment, every challenge, every conflict, every relationship, everything that we watch on TV, everything that we listen to on the radio, everything that we do on our phone or our computer. You with me? Let's live like we're never alone, because the truth is, we're not alone. God is still the God of second chances in this coming year. And here's something to think about too. Second chances are really more about God than they are about us. They're really more about Him and who He is. And that's good news. That's really good news, because if it was about me, it would be a problem. It'd be inconsistent. Right? Can we wear that? The truth is, we are never alone. Go back with me to Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. God continues in His talk with Joshua. Moses is dead. You're the man. I want you to go in there. I want you to stick with the plan. Here's the plan. It hasn't changed. It's all good. I'm with you. Live like you're never alone. And then Joshua, I need you to know something. I need you to be something. And I would encourage you, God, this has been so good for me, and I would encourage you to do the same. Just as I read this, just hear it as God speaking to you. The God of second chances, the God who knows what 2024 looks like for you, the God who's promised to fulfill His good plan in your life, the God who has promised to be with you every step of the way, here's what He says to you and me. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land. You will accomplish my purposes in your life, the land that I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Joshua, I'll keep my promise, and you're going to be my servant that I use to do that. Come on now, that should make some of us really, really encouraged. God has good plans. He's adopted you. If He's adopted you into His family, those plans are for you. He's going to keep His promises for this world, and He is inviting you and me to be a part of that. Amen. I'll keep my promise. You're my guy. You're my woman. You're my servant. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe, carefully practice is a better word maybe in our English. Carefully practice, carefully do the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. What is he talking about? What instruction? Anybody know? Does the teacher of our five class know? It's the five, right? The Pentateuch. It's the law that God had given. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He'd given them through Moses this instruction, and Joshua's got it. And God says, do it. Carefully do it. All of it. The instruction my Moses servant commanded you, he gave to you from me. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Now, how many think this is talking about Democrats and Republicans? Okay, it's not. Maybe you're thinking it's conservatives and liberals. It's not. Jesus would say it is a narrow path. Stay on the narrow path. Don't go to the left, don't go to the right. What does that mean, Jesus? Just follow me. Teach them to do everything I've commanded you. Everything that I've told you to do and to be, then do that. Yeah, but you don't understand what 2024 is going to be like. Well, actually, God would say, yeah, I really do, but it doesn't matter. It was the same in 2023, it'll be the same in 2025. It'll be the same until He takes us back. Stay on the path. Don't go this way, don't go that way, don't go, ooh, that looks good. Ooh, I want to go over there. I'm tired. No, just stay right here, right? Walk in obedience to what I've given you. Don't turn to the left or to the right so that you will have success wherever you go. Do you hear that? How God connects obedience to victory? What a concept. And I say that tongue in cheek, but the truth is we've forgotten that. If you look back on 2023, those moments of failure, those moments of regret, those moments that we need a second chance, it's because we simply didn't obey. Let's just own it. Well, the circumstances, and it was this and that. Okay, fine. It's all true. God says, I love you, but it doesn't matter. I asked you to obey me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I asked you to obey me. I told you this is what obedience looks like. Do that. Do that. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. He connects obedience, simple obedience to his word, to his truth, to victory, to success, to accomplishing the plan that God has for our lives. You will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction, it must not depart from your mouth. Isn't that interesting? We're not going to do this, but it probably wouldn't even be fun now that I think about it. What if we had the ability just to kind of look back over the past week, and then in our greeting, we're going to do another greeting, and you just share what you have, a little printout that says the percentages of what came out of your mouth. 30% was this, 20% was this, 10% was this, and 0.6% was my love for Jesus, or whatever. You tracking with me? What if that was the case? He says, he'll say in the New Testament, Paul said, let nothing come out of your mouth except what is beneficial. Here, God says, don't let it depart from your mouth. It should be constantly coming out of you. Well, how does that happen? Well, you need to recite it day and night. If you haven't set a goal in 2024 for scripture memory, maybe here's an encouragement to do that. Recite it, be able to quote it, absorb it, learn it, and then let it come out of your mouth, so that, this, again, he connects now knowing God's word to carefully observing everything that's written in it. What is he saying? He's saying, if you want to obey God's word, you got to know it. And can I tell you something that's counterintuitive maybe to me standing up here? But hear what I mean by this. This, Sunday mornings, is not going to do it. You being here, and this is great, and us studying together, and hopefully growing and learning together, is not going to do it. This is not day and night. You and I need to be in God's word. We need to be in our Bibles. We need to be reading. So I don't always understand it. Keep reading it. Keep engaging it. Keep reading it and reading it. Let it come out. Hey, you know what I read this week? Let it come out of your mouth. Let it become so dominant in your life that you will, in fact, then be careful to obey it in everything that's written in it. So thank you. I don't always know what the Bible says about different circumstances. Then start reading it. Have it be such a part of your digestive system, spiritual, that it just is coming out of your mouth and it's coming into your mind, and you know what to do. You know what God wants you to do. Then you can do it. We can't do what we don't know. He says, then you'll prosper and you'll succeed in however, whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Joshua, haven't I said this before? I'm going to say it again. And it's not a suggestion, Joshua. Crossroads Church, whoever you are this morning, this is not God's great suggestion. This is a commandment. Be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What is he saying? If I can use our vernacular, he's saying, I'm going to be there with you every moment of this year, and I will be there with you to give you another chance, a second chance. I'll be there. I'll be there. Now, our part is this. Our part is stick to the plan, live like you're never alone, and focus on the voice of God. Focus on the voice of God. Do you have any idea how many voices are available to you and I? It's crazy, right? It's crazy. Watch this. Let's watch this video. Can we watch this video?
Too many mind? Mind the soul. Mind the people want. Mind the enemy. Too many mind. No mind.
No mind.
Yes!
Okay, I'm not suggesting you try this at home, Josh. Josh is making plans already. Goes back to school on Tuesday. He's, yeah, okay. Too many mind. No mind. Stop minding all these other distractions, all these other voices, all these other things that distract us from just focusing our heart and mind on the voice of God. Now you say, I don't recognize the voice of God. Then start reading His Word. I mean, every day, not just Sunday morning, not just coming to one of our classes, every day you're spending time listening to God by reading His Word. Recognize His voice. You realize that's how Jesus described His relationship with His disciples? He said, my sheep know my voice. How do you recognize somebody's voice? By familiarizing yourself with it. Right? Because other times you go, well, that doesn't sound like them. Well, that didn't sound like Matt. You ever get an email and you can't read the inflection? Like, is this a scam? We have these scams every once in a while. I'll get an email from our executive pastor and says, hey, can you get me some gift cards and send them to me, and I'm going to... And I go, that doesn't sound like Matt. And I go into Matt, and of course, it's not. It's some scam. And then you look where it's from some other country trying to get gift cards sent to him. But I only know that because I know Matt's voice. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. God tells Joshua, you need to so saturate your life with just my voice that you recognize it. Because let's just be honest. Why are there so many voices in my head? Because I choose to let them in. I allow that distraction. I'm worried about what people think. I'm worried about all kinds of things. And so I listen to all these other voices, and at the end of the day, God tells Joshua, I want you to stick to the plan, okay? I want you to stick to the plan. I want you to live like you're never alone. I'm always with you. And I want you to focus on my voice. If you go back and read these verses, and I hope you will, God tells Joshua who he will be and what he will do. Now you say, are you talking about God or Joshua? Jehoshaphat came into... Check it out. Siri just wants to help me. Senior moment. She says, well, Joshua. Am I talking about God or am I talking about Joshua? I'm talking about both. You read these words from that perspective. God is telling Joshua who he will be and what he will do. But he's also telling Joshua who he will be and what he will do. And they're inseparable. The more clarity I have on who God is and what he will do, now I can understand who I am to him and what he wants me to do. But only if I'm zooming in, if I'm focusing on the voice of God. Sunday mornings, when we're up here, different ones are up here teaching. You need to hear our voice so you can hear what God's saying. But at the end of the day, when you leave here, the voice that should be banging around in your head is not mine. It's His. It's His. And Sunday night, Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday afternoon, it should be the voice of God. But you and I have to invite that in. We have to choose to stop listening to all these other minds, these other situations, these other voices, and focus on the voice of God. Focus on the voice of God. Stick to the plan. Live like you're never alone. Focus on the voice of God. And one more. Don't give in to fear. Now, fear is a result of looking back and not seeing God, just seeing us. It's also the result of looking forward and not seeing God, just seeing the unknown. Think about that. Fear is the result of I look back and all I see is my shame, my guilt, my failures, and I don't see God moving and working. And it's the result of looking ahead to the new year and again, not seeing God, but just seeing the unknown. And it fills me with fear. God knows Joshua. He knows you and I. He says, do not give in to fear. Do not give in to fear. So stick to the plan. Live like you're never alone. Focus on the voice of God and don't give in to fear. I don't know who you are, but I'm convinced some of you need to hear this next line. Do not let yesterday's failure rob you of today's victories. Some of you are stuck. Some of you came in this morning, some of you are listening, and you're looking back at 2023, and you're not convinced, you at least starting this morning, you weren't convinced that God is the God of second chances. It's too late for you. There are no more chances for you. And the voice of God is saying to you, like he says to every single one of us, including Joshua, I am the God of second chances. I do have a good plan for you, so stick to the plan. Live like you're never alone. Focus on my voice. Listen to my voice. I had this moment with my son when he was really little. We had to fix something under the house. Like, we lived back here. We used to have buildings back here, and it was an L-shaped building, and it was probably 150 feet and then another 50 feet. We had to crawl underneath it. We started over on the north end, and we crawled through. We both had flashlights. I think he was like four. And we go in and we go through all the sub walls, and we get through and we get there, and I'm looking up to do something with the washer dryer, and our flashlights go out and it's pitch black. And we're laying on our backs, and I can feel his fear. You know, he's laying there. And then just in a small voice, I hear this little boy say, "Dad?" That's all he said. Do you know what I did? No, I crawled away and left him there. No, I didn't. Don't send me emails. I didn't. I just talked to him. I said, "I'm right here, Tyler. Listen to my voice. I'm right here." Then I screamed for Becky, and she dropped a flashlight for us. Listen, God's saying, listen to my voice. Listen to my voice. And do not give in to fear, because some of you have looked back at this year, and you're frozen with your failures, and you can't see what God has for you in 2024. Do not let yesterday's failures keep you from today's victories that God has for you and I. Let me close with these words, these questions. And I encourage you to take these down. Write them. If you need to change them so they make sense to you, do it. But we need to ask, what is God asking me to be? And that's where we got to start. Everybody with me? I'm wrapping up. We're done. But don't miss this. We need to first ask God, what do you want? Who do you want me to be in 2024. Thank you. Who do you want me to be in 2024? And then we need to ask, what do you want me to do in 2024? What will you do with your second chance in 2024? God's ready. I'm convinced of that. He's ready. I'm going to call you all Joshua this morning. All his Joshuas, he's ready to give us a second chance. If we're willing to stick to the plan, live like we're not alone, focus on his voice, zoom in on his voice, turn off the other voices, and then don't let fear, don't give in to fear. Don't let fear be what drives you in the new year, not the past or the future. Because he's ready to give us a second chance. What are you going to do with your second chance? Let me invite us to just bow our heads for a second. There's nothing magical in bowing our heads, but it helps us to focus. And Jim is going to come. I'm going to invite Jim to come, and he's going to lead us in a time of responding. We're going to begin with prayer. And so I'm not going to pray, Jim. Come on up. I'm just asking us all to kind of bow our heads and just think back over the last 30 minutes or so. And grab a hold of what God has said to you. Not my voice, his voice. Grab a hold of what he has spoken to you about. And let's invite him to have his way.